Next on The Mole, Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker, they discuss proposed bills in Congress to criminalize support for the boycott of goods made on the occupied West Bank.
I think it's interesting to note that the BDS movement, boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, BDS, has gained some unexpected traction recently from their assault from the right wing in this country in alliance with the Israeli lobby. And so let's talk about that, Mike, and the scope of both the assault on BDS and the its implications for mobilizing around Palestinian rights, but also more broadly, the role of the First Amendment in resistances to the right. Let's talk first about the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, BDS, which seeks to pressure Israel into ending its occupation of Palestinian and Arab territories and to grant its own Palestinian citizens full rights. Just say a little about the history of this movement and why this recent assault.
Well, the international community considers the establishment of Israel settlements in occupied territory illegal because the Fourth Geneva Convention of 1949 prohibits countries from moving population into territories occupied in a war. Now, there's 196 countries subscribed to the Fourth Geneva Convention, including the U.S. and Israel. Israel argues that that particular land doesn't apply. But everyone else in the world, every international agency, agrees that it's illegal. And the BDS began, as you said, in an effort to discourage these settlements, the systematic moving of people in via government policy into these occupied territories by, among other things, limiting their possibility to develop an independent economy in this occupied land. What's happened with these laws is that they have, well, first they conflate Israel with illegally occupied territories.
Just when you say these laws, I think just by way of context, it's important to note that at least 26 bills have been introduced nationwide in 2017, which make it against the law, both criminal offense, to support the BDS movement around commercial trade relations with Israel, and that this recent Senate bill, 720, before the Senate, has wide bipartisan support, including a number of Democrats, and Ron Wyden was an original signer to this bill. And it has a long history, but it's really picked up steam this year with the Trump administration in office.
Well, it's a square shot at limiting political speech. It's a direct assault on people because of their point of view. Now, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, it presumes that the truth is not so obvious that everybody must bow down to it. It's an Enlightenment product that has been worked out in systematic ways over centuries. There are edges, as there are to every sort of law or principle, like freedom of expression and areas of pornography. But the heart of the First Amendment has to do with political speech. And the BDS movement itself, the various ideas about how far it should extend, to what it should extend.
And there are controversies within the BDS movement among supporters over the strategies or scope, whether sanctions should extend beyond Israel and so on. And that's part of the vitality of any movement, is the, includes those kinds of debates.
Well, the ACLU struck a really hard blow that got tremendous attention all over the country, by saying, you know, we don't have a view on the wisdom of boycotts, but we do have a strong view on the right of people to talk about it, the right of people to express themselves by, for example, not buying products manufactured in settlement areas. Now, this law would say it would have two business people, one of them who didn't buy because he didn't know they existed, and another who didn't buy because for political reasons. The second person could be fined and imprisoned, could be fined a lot of money and imprisoned for years. It's a very serious, scary law. It's not clear as to, it looks like if you just request information, that in itself is a crime.
Apparently, there is an irony in this bill in that it doesn't criminalize all boycotts of Israel. If you're a neo-Nazi, for example, and you are driven by explicit anti-Semitism, and you call for a boycott of Israel, you would not fall under this statute because it's specifically focused on BDS.
That's right. If you strike at a king, you must kill him. And what they're doing here is mobilizing people to talk about it, like us, for example. People all over the country are now feeling burned by the prospect of having some Congress people pass laws limiting their ability to think and express themselves.
Indeed, at the Democratic Socialists of America National Convention over the weekend, the measure to support BDS passed by 90%, which was an unusually high number, given that there are controversies even within the left over its strategies.
Even the New York Senator Gillibrand has withdrawn her support after lots of protests from her constituents about the way this would limit the ability of people to talk over and to act out on their political beliefs. And there's a very clear U.S. Supreme Court decision supporting boycotts as part of the First Amendment. It arose out of Alabama in the late 60s, where people were wanted to boycott segregation and segregationist businesses. That was found to be an unlawful infringement on your First Amendment rights to express yourselves.
So could this be seen as a desperate measure on the part of the lobbyists and the Israeli government that have moved increasingly to the right and have abandoned even the pretense of working toward a two-state solution, and the abandonment on the part of the U.S. government of any pretense of concern about any kind of minority issues or oppressed peoples?
I think so. You know, the truth is that the settlers have slowly but surely hijacked the entire Israeli government. And people in this country, young people in particular, are not particularly supportive of Israel. And their support is dwindling, even as it becomes more obvious what they're doing. So they're trying to be active. They've got all the levers of manipulation available that exist. They can and have, you know, paid plenty of money to plenty of Congress people to get laws, and they're trying to legislate something. But they are, I think, finding that this is not something that is amenable to legislation. And this particular kind of legislation in this country has never fared well and is, in fact, this time having exactly the opposite effect. It's strengthening the people they're aimed at. It's bringing to the attention of the world their target. Many people who were indifferent to or ignorant of BDS are now thinking about it.
And I think hopefully the debates within the movement, and even though the defenders of the bill and the defenders of Israelis' politics around the occupied territories have called for extending boycotts and sanctions against other oppressive countries as a cynical move to diffuse the focus on Israel. I think there's something to that, though, that the question of sanctions, including Noam Chomsky talked about sanctions and boycotting the U.S. around the Muslim ban, if we're going to start banning or boycotting countries, that I think as a larger strategy within the left, it also invites interesting discussion, debate.
Well, it does, and it's by no means new. It was a big way by which the government of South Africa was changed. It was an important part of the whole effort to desegregate the South. It's a natural impulse to stay away from or limit the success of people to whom you are opposed.
And particularly or politically organized boycotts that also call for an alternative vision of the society.
Well, this is, I think, one reason why the BDS movement has such broad support is that it's not trying to define any alternative versions. It's pointing to a known evil in a specific place with a specific remedy of that evil. It doesn't speak to the larger issue of Israel's existence or its success or failure on other fronts. It's aimed at the occupied territories. And this effort to suppress it is done nothing but increase awareness of what they're doing and the illegality of the settlements.
Yeah, they're going to be in court a long time if they pursue this path. Okay, this is Jan Hawken and Mike Snedeker talking today about this pernicious Senate Bill 720 and its supporters that we need to really passionately oppose, even if it seems like a fool's mission.
That's right.